Good evening.
Good evening.
I forgot to mention that I got a text from Daniel. He's been traveling, or he traveled up to the mountains to go elk hunting, and he sent me a text and said that they're back down off the mountain. They didn't get an elk, but he had a good time. Tuesday or Wednesday, the high was 15 degrees, so he's ready to get back into some normal weather around here and get back into some warm tropical weather of South Texas. But anyway, he'll be home, and so pray for him and his travels. His wife has made it back, as we mentioned this morning, so she's been traveling and she's back now as well. We all know what forgiveness is. In fact, it is one of the most highly sought after things that we know. Webster defines forgiveness as to give up resentment of or claim to requital for an insult, to grant relief from payment of a debt, to stop feeling anger towards someone who has done something wrong. The Israelites were given the law of Moses, which included, of course, the Ten Commandments, and it contained a way to deal with sin, which they were all part of and needed deliverance from. The way out consisted of the priest, the Levitical priesthood, offering sacrifices to the people. Leviticus chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Leviticus chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Sometimes we get into the Old Testament books and we look through them, and it's kind of difficult, especially the books of law, like Leviticus or Deuteronomy or one of those. They're kind of difficult to understand sometimes, but there's other times where we have an application from the New Testament that the Old Testament will bring some light into it. Leviticus chapter 6, verses 1 through 7 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, If a soul sin and commit trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which it was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely in any of all that these that a man doeth, sinning therein, then it shall be, because he hath sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered to him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he hath sworn falsely. He shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him whom it appertaineth, in the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein." That seems like a little bit of a long read, but if you think about it, it makes sense. How do I get forgiven for something that I did? In the law of Moses, there were certain things they had to do. He had to make restitution. He had to come back, and the guilty party had to do all of these things and go through all of this. And he gives various different examples. God provided a way out of sin, but it wasn't without cost. It didn't just happen automatically. There still had to be repentance and the desire to make the sin go away, the desire to make things right. That desire is called conviction. Many people today are never convicted of sin because they're never convinced that they have sinned in the first place. I've done nothing wrong. Let him come to me and apologize. When is he going to apologize? When is he going to get right? If he'll get it right, I'll get it right. But until then, I'm not changing. You've heard this before, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. On the other hand, many are convicted of sin and are convinced that God could never forgive them of their sins. I've heard of people that just beat themselves up thinking that there's no way God could ever forgive me for the terrible things that I've done. One time we talked to a man, 48 years he lived in guilt. And he lived for 48 years with the guilt of sin that he had committed years and years ago. And he said, "God could never forgive me for the terrible things I've done." And he came around and he finally put Christ on in baptism and was given forgiveness. He repented and was given forgiveness. More often than not, people are convinced that the church won't forgive them of their sins either. Perhaps this could be because they themselves have a difficult time forgiving others. That may be the case, but that's not always the case. Sometimes it is that we have a tendency to judge people and look down on people when they commit a sin. I don't mean that we're judgmental in that respect, but I'll tell you, I've seen people come forward and they walk down that aisle and say, I've committed sin and I want to ask forgiveness. I've never seen a congregation, of course, I haven't been in a lot of congregations, but in this congregation, everybody rallies to that person. It's very difficult to get up and walk down the aisle and say, I'm committed sin. I'm guilty of sin in my life and I want to get it straight. I want to get it off my shoulders. I want to repent of this sin. And we come forward and repent of the sin, and what does the congregation do? Yeah, I knew he was sinning. No. That's not what the congregation does. We have a loving congregation here, and we act the way God wants us to act and expects us to act. We encourage one another, and that's what we need, and that's why we come forward and we confess our sins. Well, maybe it is that people are not wrong in their assumptions. Maybe it is that more often than not, we are more critical of others' transgressions than God himself is of their transgressions. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Jesus said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you also. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Since God does forgive men, then we need to understand where that forgiveness is found. We understand that forgiveness we find in Jesus. That is the reason he came. The reason he came, we see that Jesus came to die on the cross. Why? So that we could have forgiveness of sins. When Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, Saul was living in sin and didn't realize it. Saul thought he was persecuting the church, but he thought he was doing something good for God. He thought he was doing a good deed for God. Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus for a reason. As my mother would say, he had a bone to pick with him. He said he came down and he stood before him, or he appeared before him. Saul was with his companions. He was traveling on this road to Damascus, and the reason he was going there was he was going there to persecute Christians. All of a sudden, there, in the middle of the day, there appeared a bright light that everybody saw. You ever want to find out if a flashlight's working? What do? You go outside in the middle of the day and you shine it up in the air and see if you can see anything, right? You don't even know it's on. You won't even know it's on in the broad daylight. But this light appeared to Saul and his friends, his companions, and it was a bright light that made them, you know, squint and fall down to the ground. And Paul relates the story in Acts chapter 26, verses 14 through 18. Acts chapter 26, verses 14 through 18. It says, and when we were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things thou hast seen and of the things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's a powerful passage, and a lot of times we'll read it as it kind of goes over our heads and we miss some critical points here. One is that the faith is in Christ, forgiveness of sins are in Christ, and the Gentiles are going to receive the inheritance that the Jews had, which they had forgiveness through the law of Moses, but now they're going to get inheritance in the being God's people through faith. Saul was told that he was to take a message to the Gentiles and let them know that they can have forgiveness of sins. The Gentiles, I'm sure, carried the guilt of their sins since they didn't have the law of Moses to appease them. They just dealt with it, I guess. I don't know how they did. You think about this, man has been able to conquer everything under the sun. History proves that if we work together, we can overcome racism, terrorism, tyranny, poverty, socialism, communism. The list can go on and on and on, and we can overcome all of those things. And we have overcome those in the times past. However, one thing that man has yet to be able to overcome on his own, and that is sin. It is impossible to overcome it without Christ. It affects everyone from every culture and every generation. In fact, all those things that we have overcome oftentimes creep back into societies because of sin. We can overcome all of these atrocities, racism. Racism, that's just new, right? Because it just started here with 2020. Before that, we didn't have racism. Is that correct? Absolutely not. It's ridiculous to think that. In fact, why the Jews look down on the Gentiles? Why did the Jews look down on... Well, you go through the scriptures, you'll find a lot of racism in the Bible. Not that the Bible's condoning it, just the opposite. But we can overcome those things. God knew He would have we would have a difficult time with it, so He prepared a way out. He knew we would struggle with sin, so He prepared for us a way out. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. It says in Colossians 1, verses 9, beginning in verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with knowledge, with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." We have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, and it is there that we will find forgiveness of sins and redemption. Isn't it great news that we can be forgiven of sins? How many times do people carry the guilt of sin over and over and over? We may live our lives and think, we got this down. I've been doing good. I'm living right. Remember the rich young ruler? I've done everything. I've tithed. I've done all the law. All the law. What law? I've done all of it. I've followed all that. Sell all that you have and give to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven. He went away sorrowful. He thought he had the world by the tail. And in a sense, he did. Too many times we feel the same way. Look at those people sin. Look at those sinners. Man, what is wrong with them? Weakness. They're just weak. Until it happens to us, until we stumble and we fall ourselves, then we're overcome with guilt. It's great to know that we can have forgiveness of sin. Psalm chapter 32, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." The Israelites realized what a great blessing it was to have forgiveness of sins. They took that forgiveness and that blessing and they wanted to cherish it and hold it to themselves. They wanted to be selfish. Y'all don't get forgiveness of sins. Y'all can't do that. That's all for us. They wanted to hold on to that. But they eventually realized that the forgiveness of their sins would come through the blood of the Redeemer. It would mean that they would no longer have to go through all the rituals of the law. And for those who embraced it, that was great news. Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation for our sins, through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God." For us as Christians, it's sometimes hard to grasp the gravity of the cross since none of us have ever lived under the law of Moses. But what that cross meant was we're no longer under that law. And for many people, what a blessing that was. Lift up the burdens that are upon us. However, the forgiveness of sins means that we don't have to feel the guilt of our transgressions. Guilt comes from conviction. Conviction that we've done wrong. Nobody feels guilty if they don't know they've done wrong. Saul on the road to Damascus, what was he going? He was going to persecute Christians. For what? For their crimes that he perceived that they had? He had already persecuted Christians. Jesus asked him, "Is it hard for you to kick against the pricks? Why are you persecuting me? Who are you?" "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." He didn't feel any guilt. He didn't feel any conviction for standing at the feet of those that are holding the coats of those that were stoning Stephen to death. He didn't feel any conviction for that. Go get him. He cheered him on. But I'll tell you, after this, he felt conviction. Guilt comes like, it's almost like a warning light on your car, warning you that you need to repent. not warning you that you need to leave God or that you need to become a hermit. And that's happened too. People say, I'll never go back to that church again. How could I ever show my face there again after what I've done? After what I've done, how could I ever show my face there again? And that's when we need Jesus the most. We need to turn to God the most when we're at the bottom, when we've struggled, when we fought, when we've tried to get it back, and when we still stumble and we fall. I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. What do I do? Come to Jesus. Don't go become a hermit. Don't turn your back on Him. Turn your life over to Him. Amen. Sadly for many, when we have sinned, we often are afraid that God would not accept us back. Perhaps it is that we've seen that in our brethren. We've seen that in people, humans, not accepting us, holding things against us. And so therefore, maybe we feel like God will do the same thing sometimes. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Saul was a murderer and a persecutor of Christians, and yet God forgave him. Not only that, but He sent him out on a mission to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Was Saul grateful for the forgiveness that he had? I would have to say absolutely, more than anyone I've ever seen. Saul turned his life around and devoted his life, everything in his life, shipwrecked, beaten, lashed, whatever, everything, stoned. You know what stoning was? It was a bad deal. These guys pick up rocks and they start throwing them at you, and you get hit with rocks, and you think a fist hurts? Imagine a rock that size hitting you in the head or in the arm or the chest or everywhere. Every spot on your body is getting hit with rocks until you fall down in a lump in a pile, and then they rush in and they keep hitting you and keep hitting you and keep hitting you until the rocks pile up and cover your body. And they walk away and leave you for dead. And for the most part, you die. Saul overcame that. That happened. That happened to him, and he didn't get up and say, I'm never going to mention that name of Jesus again. I'm not going to do that ever again. He said, God forgave me of my sins. I can't help but preach the gospel. I got to go. I got to keep doing this. Then it happened again. He kept doing it. In Luke chapter 7, there's a Pharisee who would like for Jesus to come to his house and eat with him. The Pharisee, as we've noted, was one of the lawyers of the time. He was a proclaimer of the law, the Pharisees and the scribes. He wanted Jesus to come eat with them. And while he was there, a woman who it says was a sinner found out that he was there, and she brought this expensive ointment. We've heard the story. She stood at the feet of Jesus, and she began to anoint his feet with this oil. And then she, she dried his feet with her hair, and the tears went down. It was a beautiful story. She washed his feet with her tears and with her hair. It was interesting that she did that. And it also says that she kissed the feet of Jesus and anointed him with that oil. And we draw this picture and we wonder what in the world's going on. And you can imagine what the Pharisee was thinking as this woman comes into his house. Anybody could have just come in there. And I guess it wasn't that she opened the door and walked into his house. The houses were a little bit different, you know, kind of sharing walls and sharing open areas. And so they would be there, and people were gathered around, and she was one of the people that gathered there, heard he was there, and went there to see him. And then she performed this act of generosity, I guess you would say, compassion. She began to wash the feet of Jesus. And when the Pharisee saw it, he thought to himself, this man, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that's touching him, because she's a sinner. And you see the Pharisee's attitude is, don't touch me, you're a sinful, you're filth, you're a sinner. And Jesus didn't do that. Jesus, knowing his thoughts, told him a parable of a creditor who forgave different men, one for 500 pence, a debt that the 500 pence debt, and the other for a 50 pence debt. He then asked him which one will love the creditor most. And then we continue our story. Luke chapter 7, verse 43 and following. Luke chapter 7, verse 43 and following. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he whom he forgave most. Who will he forgive most? The one he forgave, this one or this one? He said, I suppose the one he forgave most. And Jesus said, thou hast judged rightly. And he turned to the woman. He turned to the woman and he looks at the woman and he says to Peter. That's an interesting picture if you draw this picture in your mind, because he's in this guy's house and he's in Simon's house. And Simon says, you know, yeah, I guess he forgave the one he forgave most. Because he was thinking in his mind, he didn't know who she is. She's a sinner. Why would he let her touch him? Jesus said, who do you think he forgave most? The one that sinned the most, or the one that he forgave the most. He turned to the woman and he said to Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with the tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Sometimes the ones with the most amount of sin in their lives are the ones that distance themselves the farthest from God, unfortunately. Not because of a sinful nature, but due to the shame and the idea that God wouldn't forgive them for the amount of sin that they have committed. Not only can he forgive us, but he will. And according to this verse, those who have been forgiven the most have the most to be thankful for. And we can certainly see that in Saul. Is there someone whose forgiveness you've been denying? Is there someone whose forgiveness you've rejected? Don't let petty bitterness come between you and God. He stands to forgive us if we just come to him and ask for forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I have looked through the Bible. I've heard it said that, you don't have to forgive anyone unless they ask for forgiveness. Because, you really don't. You don't have to forgive anyone if they don't ask for forgiveness. And God doesn't forgive those people that don't ask for forgiveness. And you stand before judgment and say, yeah, Lord, I've been living as a sinner, but I knew you were going to forgive me for it. Yet they never repented and never asked for forgiveness. I never found anywhere in the Bible that said we don't have to forgive someone if they don't ask for forgiveness. However, we do have in Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. We have this in Luke 17, verse 3 and 4. Jesus said, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. If he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Seven times, that's just in one day. That's not the same one where he says seven times seven, 70 times seven. It's a different story here. But that says seven times in one day, we should forgive him. We're never given a cutoff line. Well, after 3 days, that's enough, or 7 days, or 10 days, or 20 days, or whatever. Every day, over and over and over. How many times? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I'm not going to go for that again. I already forgave you once for this. I'm not doing it again. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. God's forgiveness is unlimited. However, it is not unconditional on us forgiving others. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. To expect God to forgive your sins while refusing to forgive others is ludicrous. And I don't know anybody that really does that. However, there's many people that refuse to forgive people's sins. If we only consider how much God forgives us of throughout our lifetime, and how much more he's willing to forgive, perhaps we could be more ready to forgive others. The Israelites were given a way to deal with their sins through the law of Moses. We too are given a way to deal with our sin through the law of Christ. There's no sin in your life that can't be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ if you will repent of that sin. What a magnificent Creator we have in that He gave us free will, all the while knowing that it would create a sin problem in our lives, but He knew that we needed free will anyway. Therefore, He not only gave us free will, but He prepared a way for us to deal with the sin that we too often choose over His righteousness. There is a way to overcome sin. There is a way to have forgiveness of that sin, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you have any need, the message is yours. Won't you come all together? We stand and sing the song that's been selected.